Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I have to tell you, I am just absolutely thrilled this hour. We're going to have so many wonderful stories and inspirational things to share with you. And I'm broadcasting from the Pacific Northwest, where right now we have got snowflakes the size of quarters falling outside of our windows. It's truly like a winter wonderland. And my guest today, Mary Ellen, she's in Oregon, and I think it's probably the same way down there. Mary Ellen, welcome to the show.
Hello, Donna. Merry Christmas to all your listeners.
Well, thank you so much. Is it snowing down there in Oregon?
Not yet, but you have the first part of the snow, and then it's working its way down I-5, and we're going to have it tonight. We can hardly wait.
Oh, it's been snowing here for the past few days.
I heard your airport's closed.
Oh, yes. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going to be shifting and changing, and for all those travelers, well, we'll wish them well. Mary Ellen, we're going to be talking about a couple of your books, and we've known each other for years, and of course, you always, with your Angel newsletter, and we'll be giving out the information later on how people can subscribe to that, but you have two books, Christmas Filled with Miracles, and then also Expect Miracles. And we're going to be sharing some of these wonderful, wonderful stories, but first, give us a little bit of a background about how these books came about. What was it that spurred you to decide to publish these stories?
Well, it was a miracle, Donna. Go figure. I like to say that angels are my agents. We all have angels, and we need to put them to work. My mother gave me a computer for Christmas for our family, and went on the Internet into chat rooms. There was angel chat rooms. So I thought, oh, what a great idea. And I would sit there, and I'd look, and people would be talking about the oddest things and nothing to do with angels. And because I write channeled messages from angels, I began typing the messages in there, kind of like a game to change the energy of the room. Well, before long, I met tons of people, and they all asked to receive the messages. So this is how the Angels and Miracles newsletter started. It was just a mailing list. I had no idea a newsletter was forming. I was just doing, you know what they say, if God couldn't show up today and he asked you to, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just sharing the angels' messages. And the mailing list became very long. It was 1,000 people within just a couple of months. And then one of the readers sent one of my newsletters to the Random Act of Kindness people, and Betty Knight at Canary Press received it, and she told the publishers that they needed to, you know, use my miracle true stories in a book. So here I am just sending out my miracles that happen all the time, and the reader's miracles that happen all the time. And 5 months later, she asked me to do a book with her company, and a year later, asked me to do another one. Donna, I'd never read the foreword to a book. I'm not a very good reader. I'm very dyslexic. But I was just doing what God and the angels had set me up to do, what comes naturally, something that I love to do. So if people love to sing, go to the nursing homes and sing your heart out. Give your gift the best way you know, and you never know what magic will unfold for you. Because when was the last time you heard of an unknown having two books in 5 languages and over 30,000 sold, and they were just a housewife at home playing on the computer?
That's right, and that's what is in your book. And I know I gave you one of my stories, and so many stories came from so many different directions. I wanted to share a couple of them, and one was titled, Santa is Coming to Town, and this was given to you by Betty Tisdale. And this is a woman who has just done awesome, awesome work with children overseas. But tell this story that you have in your book first.
Okay. I just want to say that today Betty Tisdale's 86 years old, and she's still helping the children in Vietnam, plus Bogota and Afghanistan. And what happened is I was watching TV one night. It was close to Christmas. And Betty came on TV. I was living in the Seattle area at the time, and I thought, oh, what a lovely lady, and look what she's doing. I bet she's got a Christmas miracle story. So I just looked her up in the phone book, and there was her number, and as her phone is ringing, the Christmas music's playing behind me as Santa Claus is Coming to Town. With no clue, that's what her story was about. And I asked her if she had a Christmas story. The minute you hear her voice, you love her. I think you've had her as a guest, haven't
you? Yes, I have. She's just a wonderful woman.
Oh, she's like Mother Teresa, you know. Anyway, so what happened is she told me this story about, it was war, it was Vietnam, it was hot, it was humid. She was the head of an orphanage. There was 400-plus children there. And one of the military, American military, I'm not very good with, I imagine it was Army. Hey, it's in the book. Read the book.
Right. Well, it's the 121st Signals Battalion, 1st Infantry Division.
Thank you. That's what it is. And so what ended up happening was they decided to adopt the children for Christmas, and they mailed their relatives and asked them if they would send gifts, and they asked if they would send wrapped gifts for children of all ages to take to the orphanages. So over, you know, a period of weeks and months, gifts started arriving at the base. And then what they ended up doing was on Christmas Day, they came in Jeeps with these packages, brightly colored, wrapped up high in the back of the Jeeps. And they pulled in front of the orphanage. And they got out. Well, could you imagine several Jeeps full of packages and 400 kids milling around? And it was the first Christmas they had ever had. And so they're trying to organize all the children to receive their gift, and they hear the whirl of helicopter. Well, what's scary about that, Donna, is in a war zone, you never know what it means. And often it meant that the men that were helping at the orphanage were going off to fight their war. And so they looked up. But this time, out of the helicopter was Santa Claus, and he was waving, and he had his beard on. Now, we're talking over 100 degrees humid weather. This man was a saint. He had his beard on, his red outfit, all the white on his costume, and they land the helicopter, and he comes over with an escort, and then all the children line up in front of the soldiers, and usually there's a lot of snobbery. My first husband was in the military, and people stay to their own ranks, but not today at Betty's Orphanage. They lined up all ages, all ranks, side by side with huge piles of gifts stacked up behind them, and the children, as they came to get the gifts, they would put their hands together and bow and say, "Come on," which means thank you for the gift. And Betty attributes Major Bill Hilsman and Sergeant Diebel and Lieutenant Fisher as the angels of Onlock. And then at the end of the day, the soldiers packed up to go home. But what was most startling for Betty is when Santa was walking over, unbeknownst to her, several of the military gentlemen had musical instruments, started playing Silver Bells. And right after that, they played Jingle Bells, and all the children were singing Jingle Bells as Santa was walking over. I mean, you can just see this, can't you, Betty?
Oh, yes.
I mean,
it's wonderful. And what's even more amazing is that 20 years later, when Betty, in 1995, because she evacuated in 1975, the orphanage had to be closed down, and she evacuated 219 babies, which is a phenomenal story. Mm-hmm. But in 1995, 20 years later, she returned to find the orphans that she had left behind, and she had a wonderful reunion with them, and the first thing they did was sing Jingle Bells to
and
her.
And 60 of them. I asked her how she managed to get 60 of the orphans that couldn't be rescued from Vietnam when it went down, and she said they just talk to each other, and before long, there's a big crowd of them. They just find each other.
It's amazing. Just phenomenal stories. And again, Mary Ellen has these two books, this one called A Christmas Filled with Miracles, and then the other one is Expect Miracles. You have a story by Myrna Smith.
Oh, I'd like to go back to Betty Tisdale.
Okay.
I just sent out a newsletter on her, and she's trying to find warm clothes for children in Afghanistan. Apparently, we know they're in the throes of war, but they don't have windows in one of the orphanages there, and it's freezing cold. So they need warm sweaters and socks and gloves. So if people will email me at angelscribe@msn.com, I'll forward them the newsletter with the military address. So if you postal mail to the APO box, Marnie, who is in Afghanistan, will hand deliver these clothes that you're gifting directly to the children. When you work with Betty, not one penny's lost.
That's true. She doesn't take anything for herself. It all goes for the children. And we'll give out your email address also again at the bottom of the hour, Mary Ellen, so that people will have that available. And if they want to subscribe to your newsletter, we'll talk about that too. Let's talk about Myrna Smith, because she needed a miracle in her life. And she happened to be chatting on a phone with a woman she had never met. And this woman was really in a rough space. She was afraid she wasn't going to have any kind of a Christmas. And she just, the reason being, she was sick.
Mm-hmm.
What's the rest of the story on that, Mary Ellen?
You know, I haven't read that story for a long time. Well, you can tell that one. And then I want to end with what happened to Myrna in 1995 after her husband passed. It'll blow your socks off.
Okay, so let me tell the story then. Myrna was chatting with a woman that she didn't even know. And she was going through some very tough times. She was a single mom. She had three children. She was very sick, had not been able to work. She'd somehow managed to get a Christmas tree. But she felt that that was all she was going to be able to do, that there wasn't going to be any Christmas, her house needed cleaning. Now, Myrna got an idea. It's amazing how the power of the mind can work. She didn't mention it to this woman, but she went online and contacted a friend who knew this lady personally, and asked if he would be open to doing something for this woman and her children. And he said, sure, I'd be glad to do it. What this man and his wife did, they went to this unknown woman's home, this unknown woman to Myrna. She knew about her through a friend. And they cleaned this woman's house, fixed a nice meal, and then Myrna and her family took money that they would have used to buy each other a gift.
And I want to say, Myrna is not a wealthy woman.
Yes, that's right. And she bought a gift for this woman and her three children. The family said, this is what we'll do. We're going to take what we would give to ourselves. Let's give it to this lady. And they added some special gifts like bubble baths for the mom and some scented lotion as well as some home-baked goodies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this had to be in California by overnight express to reach the family in time for Christmas. And do you know what? It really made a difference in their Christmas, as well as for the people that they were giving the gifts to. Myrna said, I would not have thought of helping this family without the help of my own angel, who is always there if I just tune in. And I found it takes so little to make a difference in the lives of others. Tell us the rest of Myrna's story.
Well, first, I want to say Myrna has a lot of miracles that happened to her, and her husband passed, and she had a vision of him appearing to her, and it was so amazing that one of the miracle TV shows ran her miracle story. So she's gotten a lot of publicity, but after her husband died, it was Christmas 1995,
mm-hmm.
and her boys and her went to the cemetery to his gravesite prior to the Christmas Eve service. And while they were standing at the gravesite, she looks up and she sees this absolutely bright, shining star, and it's over the mountain from the church. And she thought, well, you know, that's a little familiar thing on Christmas Eve. But it was, and she didn't think she was hallucinating. She thought it was the biggest star she had ever seen. And then when she gets to the church, everybody in the church is talking about that one single star. So it gave her such peace to know that her husband was watching over her.
Let's talk about angels and hot cocoa.
Oh, angels and hot cocoa.
Now, here we are in the Pacific Northwest experiencing a doozy of a storm, and I know many of my listeners are in parts of the country, and they're getting smacked with the bitter cold as well. And in this one, this is a story about Anne McAvoy.
McAvoy. And you know what? She's a policewoman. And she's a professional driver, and snow doesn't bother her. But you know, sometimes when you get in your car and you start driving, it's a white knuckle experience, Donna.
Oh, I know, I've been there.
But she's also very spiritual, and she believes in angels. And so she asked her angels to ride with her. But Anne, if you know her, she has the funniest sense of humor. So she didn't visualize the angels in the car beside her. She visualized them outside on the hood. Then after a while, she started feeling a little guilty about that, so she visualized them all cuddled up under a single blanket drinking hot cocoa, and then that made her giggle. So instead of white-knuckling at being afraid, she changed the energy into knowing she was protected and she had the sense of humor. And, of course, you know, she wrote the story, so she made it home fine. But the funniest part is a friend of hers knows how connected Anne is to the angels, So what she ended up doing is saying, you know, when I'm out driving and I'm nervous, I borrow your angels.
And hot cocoa and all.
Yeah, with a hot cocoa. But she visualized them where they turn around slowly, look at her, and they nod to her. Then all of us can do this, and this is how you bring positive energy and angels and manifest them around you. You literally see them around you, and that's what's called belief.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so many of us, when we decorate our Christmas trees, we put little angels on the top. This has become traditional with so many people, and we have so many gorgeous ornaments today to choose from. And in your book, you have the Christmas tree angel.
And it's written by a young lady whose name's Angel. She's just a dear. And they had their Christmas tree all decorated, and she had antique ornaments on there. She had Balik ornaments. It was absolutely a vision to behold. This miracle took place when her son was 3 years old. And the previous year, they had lost their grandpa and their much-loved dog. And so what happened is she was tucking her young son in for bed, and they had their 8-foot-tall Grand Noble tree all set up. So after she kissed her little cherub goodnight, she comes down the stairs and she takes a look at the Christmas tree and she goes, that doesn't look right. It was leaning. And she had no idea why it would be leaning, because it was secure in its stand. And then before she can hit the bottom of the stairs, the darn tree topples over, breaks ornaments, spills water everywhere, and of course, you know, she's muttering words that don't rhyme with angel.
Oh, then, yes.
Been there, done that. And what happened is she picked up the tree, and she checked for the ornaments, and only one miraculously had broken. But what startled her was that the treetop angel, which they'd had since she'd first gotten married, had actually started to burn and had burned down 5 inches of the top of the Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
If it hadn't have fallen over and unplugged itself, it could have been a lot worse for the family. Somehow it blew itself out. I don't know if it landed in the water or whatever, but the fire never ignited. It had just burned the top of the tree.
Well, so, her son apparently came down the stairs because of all the commotion, which a falling tree would give a fair amount. And he saw it, found out what had happened, and he said, I think Opa Ted and Duchess knocked it down.
Yeah, out of the mouth of babes, hey?
Yes, that's the way it goes. Well, if any of us are at the post office, which I was, my goodness, we've seen such long lines there. And there's just so much that goes on by the Postal Service. They've got trucks that they add to their fleet to be sure that the packages get out and they're going to arrive at their destinations on time. And there was a story, and I just pulled it up just right now, Mary Ellen, out of your book called Christmas Mail. And this is by June Becker.
What page is it on?
That is on 98. And she was 17 years old and at home alone, and she was supposed to put up the tree and get all the presents out for the kids. And she had a job, and she was alone in the evenings, but she was really missing her family. She was really missing her family badly, and she wanted to be with her mother during the holidays and the rest of the family. And her only brother had died right before Christmas, 8 years earlier, so it was a very tough time for her mom, and that was another reason why she wanted to be with her. And she said, here it's Christmas, I'm in Sacramento, while my mom is in St. Louis, Missouri. And she didn't have money for a phone call, and no one could pay for a collect call if she made one of those.
And she was in such grief. She was devastated.
Just absolutely devastated. So she decided to write a letter to her mom on Christmas Eve. And in that letter, she said she poured her heart out, and she wanted the letter to get out to her as soon as possible. So she decided to try to get it into the mail before midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was 11 o'clock at night. Her boyfriend, whom she later married, happened to be visiting, and he was just really upset from having her cry all the time. So he drove her to the post office so she could mail the letter.
And, you know, not a lot of mail's moving about midnight on Christmas Eve.
Good point, Mary Ellen. Good point.
And the miracle is, the next morning, when her mother was in the kitchen preparing the dinner, she too was crying and missing her daughter. When she heard a sound at the back door, she opened the door, and there was a young man standing there, Donna, with his left hand on the mailbox, which was hanging close to the back door. He was dressed in dark suit and a tie. He was very clean cut, and she was bewildered why he was standing there. He looked really kind, and the mother raised her apron to her eyes to dry the tears she'd been crying and cleared her throat and asked him what he was doing there. And she looked again, and then
no one was there.
You're right.
No one was at the mailbox. Well, this is a little exciting. So what do? Well, she goes out to the walkway, which is about 10 feet, looked again, looked every direction she could. Nobody's there. She runs to the street. No one's there either. So she goes back, and she decided to see what might have caused someone to put their hand on her mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she knew there was no delivery mail on Christmas Day, but inside that mailbox was June's letter to her mother, sent 10 hours before from 2,300 miles away.
I don't know about the listeners, but I have goosebumps from my neck all the way down my back to my toes.
And not only that, there was no postmark on the letter. And what they feel happened, it was hand-delivered by the brother who was deceased to ease his mom's pain and to let him know that he loved her. And she called June. The mother called June the minute she finished reading the letter and asked June when she mailed it.
Amazing, so, hey?
It is. It's really something.
And, you know, my next-door neighbor, when I lived in Gig Harbor, her granddaughter was so excited. She was a teenager, and she bought her grandparents the very first gift she ever did. She kept saying, open it, open it, open it. So finally they opened it early, and it was a music box that you actually have to plug in and turn on. And so they enjoyed it before Christmas. And I know our time's running out here, so I'm going to talk fast. What ended up happening is, Frances moved to next door to me in Gig Harbor, set up her bedroom and set up the music box and plugged it in. Of course, it's off. And then just before Christmas, she was missing her husband and she was in a lot of grief. And she starts to hear the music box playing in the bedroom and she goes in. She was totally spooked because you have to move the little disc and it had been sitting there idly for weeks. And it came on Christmas Eve when she was thinking of her husband.
Love these stories.
You know, love never dies.
That's right. It never goes away at all, Mary Ellen. Christmas Lights for Joy. This will be our last story from your book. And again, for those of you listening, Mary Ellen, we are going to be giving out her email address. You can contact her to get an autographed copy of the book. And she's got all kinds of wonderful things in her Angel newsletter. But let's talk about Joy.
I have a pet newsletter, too, for
animals.
Oh,
yes, you just started that one. Oh, and that's neat. That is really good.
Yep.
Okay, let's talk about Joey, Mary Ellen.
When Joey was born, he just didn't have a chance. He died at the moment of his birth. They resuscitated him. He died twice more. He was so ill. He was born in March. And then around November 18th, his mother just had a feeling to put up the Christmas tree early because he had another brother. She put up the tree on the 18th, and on the 21st, bless his heart, Joey passed away and left them all in grief. And at the same time that he died, a string of lights on the Christmas tree went out. Well, they were too immersed in the funeral and the grief to even care. And there's an organization called Compassionate Friends. You can check it on the internet, compassionatefriends.com. And it's for people who've lost children. And so they learned from that what happens is at 7 o'clock at night, people start lighting wherever they are in the world candles for the children who have passed and say prayers, and they let all their relatives know about this too. And so wherever you are in the world, in the next time zone at 7 o'clock, other people are doing it. So it's a 24-hour prayer for the children who are all protecting us and watching over us in heaven. Anyways, and so they lit their candles, they said their prayers, and then that was at 7 o'clock, and it must have been 20 minutes. No, they had more than 20 people who were helping them with their little boy. And the instant they finished lighting the candles, said their prayer, Donna, the strand of Christmas tree lights came on all by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how spirit seems to work with the electrical energy through the music box, through the string of lights, sometimes doorbells, sometimes phones that ring when you're thinking of somebody.
It's amazing, and it is something, you know, here we are in this time of the year, which is a celebration of, you know, when you go back to ancient time, it's winter solstice. In so many parts of the world, it's beginning to get close, very close fact, the 21st, I believe, is the shortest day of the year, the darkest hours. And it's during this time that celebration for centuries has always been encouraged because it helps get through those dark times. In Mary Ellen's book, A Christmas Filled with Miracle, and then her other book, Expect Miracles, these stories, they're all from real people. They all have something wonderful to share with you, something that's going to give you that feeling that you're not alone in life and that there is a serendipitous feel that really life has if you'll just allow yourself to feel it. Now, Mary Ellen, we've got a couple of minutes here. I want you to give your email address and then talk about your newsletter a little bit and your pet newsletter.
Okay. The website's Angel Scribe. And when you go on there, you can find the Angels and Miracles newsletters and also the pet newsletters. I'm a newspaper columnist here in our little tiny town, and it's amazing how many animals are connected to miracles, saving lives of people, whether they're seizure alert animals or coma alert or falling in a ditch and the animal protecting them overnight and alerting their rescuers. And some of those stories are listed on the website. And if they'd like Betty Tisdale's newsletter, email me at angelscribe@msn.com, and I'll be happy to forward that to her. Did you know that Betty Tisdale adopted 10 children?
Isn't that amazing?
Told you she's a saint.
Just amazing.
Anyways, I'd love to forward them that. And the newsletters are always happy, inspirational. My intention is to offer hope and make you smile. And I love photography, and we live in this beautiful little tiny town called Cottage Grove, Oregon. And I take photos of the covered bridges and the children on the swings and work that in with the channeled angels' messages and then the miracles that come from the world, around the world. And somebody this morning sent me 5 pictures of their dog playing in the snow, rolling all over. And it was, I think, a day or two after their other dog had passed.
Mm-hmm.
And when the dog climbed out of the snow and ran off, she took a picture. Donna, he made a snow angel. There's no question.
Amazing.
It's amazing. Life's
well,
that way when you have your eyes and your heart open.
Absolutely. Mary Ellen, it's been a joy having you as a guest today. And for those of you listening, again, it's Christmas, A Christmas Filled with Miracle and Expect Miracles. Go to her website, angelscribe.com. You'll find out more information, and also she has a newsletter both about miracles and stories by people from around the world, as well as the pet stories. Mary Ellen, have a fabulous, fabulous holiday season, and just enjoy the snow when it comes.
Oh, thank you, and I wish all your listeners a life filled with miracles.
Thank you, Mary Ellen. We'll be talking again. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Bo Bishop. Her wonderful book, Seeds for Change. And we're going to be talking a little bit about horses, too. So don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello, and this is Donna Sebo, and we have a delightful guest today who has put out a book that I think, if you bought a bunch and just kept them handy, just to give them out to people, it would be just wonderful. It's called The Seeds for Change. Bo Bishop is my guest, and as she told me just before we came on the air, she's at the highest point on Camano Island here in the state of Washington, and I said, what's the highest point? She said, when snow is up to your knees. Welcome to the show, Bo.
Thank you.
My goodness. So it's snowing like crazy here. We've got snowflakes the size of quarters.
Oh!
And is it snowing up where you are as well?
Actually, it just stopped a little while ago, and everything, like I said earlier, it looks like Narnia. It's absolutely beautiful. And the trees are covered in snow, and the driveway is covered in snow, and it's just beautiful.
Now, Bo, this book, when you and I first met, it was back in October, I believe, of this year, and you handed this to me, and the first thing I became aware of was the absolutely gorgeous photography. Give us a little history about this book. Why is it that you felt compelled to do this?
Well, in my life, I've had a couple brushes with near-death experiences, one back in 2001 that I felt really changed my life, and wasn't so much the experience, but the people that were involved in my healing from across the country, the outpouring of love and support, and just the connection of people to other people who they didn't even know each other, and they were coming together to do all kinds of different fundraising events and gatherings to coordinate events across the country. And it was just an amazing thing. And, I'm sure everyone questions how much they're loved in their life, but this was an absolute picture of, oh, my goodness. And all I could do was say thank you, because that was all I could do.
Now, this injury came about because of a horse?
I was actually having a cup of tea, and a horse that one of my students was working with got out of control on the end of a very long line, and got rather upset. It really wasn't anybody's fault. He just got upset, and, when you're 16-plus hands tall and you can jump through the air in one leap, his whole body went five different directions, and, 15, 20 feet away from him was too close, and one of his feet actually hit me in the head and sent me flying.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was the worst accident that Harborview Hospital had seen related to horses, and they see them every week.
Oh, my word. Well, Yes. You have given us a wonderful gift. Now, the photographer, Ella Markham.
Yes.
She is a woman that has an eye for nature and lighting that is just absolutely phenomenal. When I looked at these magnificent photographs, I wish we were on television so we could show them. Each and every one of them in the book has a little bit of a quote. It would be, the beauty of this book is so mind-moving and can touch one's spirit in such a way, like the one that she's got of the mountain, and you'll have to tell me what mountain it is if you know which one it is. It doesn't look like Mount Rainier, but next to it says, having a vision, whether large or small, gives purpose to your life. And the photograph coordinates so well with the comment.
That's Mount Baker. Yeah.
Now, how did the two of you get together?
I've known Ella for about 20 years, and she is an amazing massage therapist who went through rotary cuff surgery on both shoulders at the same time, and the only thing that she could pick up and carry was her camera. And she lives up by Mount Baker in just a really beautiful rural area, and ventured out every day and took photographs, and that was part of her healing for her body and her spirit, and so it captures in those pictures a part of her, too, that's pretty amazing. And then I paired the sayings that I wrote and the poems that I wrote with those images, because I really feel that when you pair words with a visual image, that they reside in your mind longer and in a different way than if you were just to read words by themselves.
I agree. She has done an exquisite photograph of a forest in its finest greenery. And next to this exquisite photograph is, if you set your sights only to arrive at a specific destination in life, you may miss the magic that happens in each moment along the way. And as I was looking at this photograph, I looked at all the different shades of green and the reflection of the water that was so still and so clear in its demeanor that it totally mirrored the trees on the shoreline, and it just blends together in a harmony that's just incredible. She caught something with her camera that is just ethereal and magical at the same time.
And if you look beyond the actual picture, I love the way that you described that, because it truly is, but if you look beyond just the image itself, if you look horizontally, the shadows that the water and the trees play on each other is the shape of a frog.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And so you might miss the magic if you're only set upon a destination.
Wow. I mean, that is, and immediately, as soon as you said that, I found the frog. There it is. And it's green with a stripe down its back. Just
yes.
Absolutely perfect. In doing this book, Bo, Seeds for Change, what was the gift you wanted to give to people?
I wanted it to be something that inspired other people to have heart, to reach out to other people, to share, whether it was the words or the book itself as a gift from one heart to another heart, that it was actually a physical thing that people could give to each other in appreciation of each other and of life and of inspiration itself.
You have a quote in your book by Mirabi, an 8th century Indian. The breezes at dawn have secrets to tell. Don't go back to sleep. Ask for what you really want. Don't go back to sleep. People are moving back and forth across the threshold where the two worlds touch. The door is round and open. Don't go back to sleep. And the picture that is adjacent to it is an opening that is associated, this beautiful arc of stone that is you look through the arc, the opening in the arc, and there you have this magnificent view of an open body of water. Reminds me of an area in Ireland, but yet I know it's here in Washington.
Actually, that you're correct. That is in Ireland.
That is in Ireland. Oh, my
yes,
goodness.
It was one of the only pictures that isn't from this area.
That is just phenomenal. I mean, I looked at that, and that's the first thing that I thought. It reminded me of Ireland. And I've never been there, so this is really fascinating. But it's the way the earth felt that is in the picture, the whole imagery that goes with the words. It's just magical. And then you have this one where it shows this snow-covered ball on a stem, and it looks like almost like a silvery candy lollipop, and adjacent to it is the word peace that has been carved out of a piece of stone. And
yes,
it's positioned next to it, and the words are, no matter our origin or belief, we can share together in one vision of peace for all. That is something that is for this time. Actually, it should be for every day of the year, but especially this time of the year, because we often hear the word peace and goodwill for all. And
yes,
that is so important. It doesn't make any difference who we are, where we are, what our backgrounds have been. Peace is something, is a five-letter word that can bring so much good into this world, but it is something we have to earnestly want. I know we're coming close to the end of our time, Bo, and I wanted to be sure that people know how to reach you if they'd like to get a copy of this book. This book, as a gift, would just be phenomenal, and it's timeless. It's just, it would be good at any time, any place. You know, there's no time of the year. It's just something that if you know of somebody that's very visual, that loves to sit in quiet, maybe have meditation, this Book of Beauty would be one that you'd want to give them as a gift. Bo, what is your website?
It's www.bobishophorsemanship.com.
Okay, bobishop.horsemanship. Excuse me, is there a dot before the horseman?
There's no dot
okay.
there.
Okay, so it's bobishophorsemanship.com.
Yeah. And the book has traveled around the world already. It's been sent to probably about 10 different countries as of right now, and all over the United States. And I keep getting emails back from people just very grateful and thanking me for writing it so that they could share it with their friends and their family and their loved ones.
Well, and that's true. And, Bo, again, it's BoBishopHorsemanship.com. Now, Bo, we're going to be talking in January because you're very deeply involved with equine therapy. And we're going to be talking, we've already got our time set up for the 27th of January, when we're going to be discussing equine therapy. And I had the chance to be involved with just a taste of what this can do for people, and it was just an extraordinary experience for me. So I'm looking forward to interacting with you again. Do you have a closing thought for us before we end our conversation today?
Just that everyone is as close can be. As you reach towards other people, that brings love closer to you, and it brings it, as you said, peace in the world to a different place, and it needs to be in that place and in this time, and I think in each heart, and it's up to each one of us to extend that to each other.
Bo Bishop, thank you so very much. And again, her website, bobishophorsemanship.com. Believe me, the art in this is extraordinary, and it's a gift for anyone that would appreciate beauty, loves nature, and just enjoys maybe taking a moment for a thought, for a day. Great book. Seeds for Change is its title. Bo Bishop, thank you very much for being my guest. We'll be talking again in the latter part of January, and I look forward to it. Have a wonderful holiday season.
You too, and thank you very much.
You're welcome, Bo. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. I think I have got a toffee recipe for you. You are going to enjoy. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604, or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. As I'm broadcasting, snow is falling. It is falling. I don't know if we're going to be lucky enough to have a white Christmas, but by golly, we sure have got plenty of it right now in the Pacific Northwest. The storm front that has come through has just created a winter wonderland in western Washington, and I think in eastern Washington as well, and it's moving its way on down to Oregon. Well, I told you that I had a wonderful, wonderful toffee recipe, and that's one of my favorite sweet things. I just love toffee, especially when it's covered in chocolate. So get your pad of paper and pen handy. But also I wanted to let you know telephone lines are open, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, we have some time here. I'd be happy to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. Canadians and also U.S. 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. Also, for those of you who have been hearing Teresa Tapp, yes, that wellness lady that just has got magic. I'm so excited. I've toned up 25 inches overall. I know we've got a caller. Let me finish this quickly. If you want to participate in the drawing that we've got on the Donna Sebo Show, there are going to be three gift packages, each of them worth over $100, being given away by Teresa. You can get fit and fabulous in 2009. Send an email to me to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And in the subject line, put the Donna Sebo Show and then put the code DSS-30. We'll put you in the e-pot drawing, and we're going to have that drawing before the end of the year. This is a wonderful gift. We had Teresa on yesterday, and we were talking about it. Oh, my goodness, it's just loaded with goodies. This works. It's worked for me. I've been using it for a year. I swear by it. 15 minutes a day. Good stuff. Let's go to our first caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Phoenix, and Tracy is my name.
And where are you calling from?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, Tracy, when I'm looking at you, the very first thing that is coming into my mind is you have to bite the bullet of patience. If you don't, you are going to find yourself talking too much about something that is not yet in place. Consequently, you're going to find the energy dissipating so that things are not going to come together. I'm getting keep your own counsel. Make sure that you don't talk again too much about what you want to have happen. When you're discussing things with people, discuss things that are pertinent to whatever is going on, but don't de-energize what it is you're working towards. If you do, you are going to find yourself frustrated because it seems as if people will have heard too much about something and it's like they're ignoring it. So you want to keep your focus where it really should be at all times. Now, the other thing that I'm looking at is a tremendous amount of energy that has to be put into place by January the 10th of 2009. Don't sit around and wait for something to happen. You must be actively participating in the action that is required for you to get the results that you want. If you don't do that, then you're going to have more of a time delay. So be attentive, be aware, take care of what needs to be taken care of, and you're going to find that things will move very smoothly if you just work in a consistent, steady patterning. What would you like to ask me about today?
Well, I on this tremendous energy by January 10th, I'm wondering if there's anything more you can tell me about that. Is it, I work on a lot of different things, and I'm not sure.
Well, let me phrase it to you this way. If you've got a lot of things in the pot cooking, you need to decide how many pots, you know, whatever the items are in the pot need to be there. And what you need to prioritize and give focus to. You need to prioritize. If you get too scattered, then you're going to find that, again, it's energy is dissipated.
Okay.
So prioritize what needs to be done.
Okay.
And I wish you a happy holiday season.
Okay, thank you. You
too. You're welcome, Tracy. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Do you have that pad of paper and pen handy? This is a recipe for crunchy chocolate almond toffee. And it's so easy to make. And if you're like me and you like the crunchy, you like the chocolate, and you like nuts, and by the way, this recipe calls for almonds, but you could toast walnuts and or pecans if you like. If there are particular nuts, you might want to experiment with this. But just starting off, you might just want to keep with the almonds. They look so pretty anyway. And I'd say if you're going to use walnuts, you need to chop them. You need to take a mallet and, you know, on a surface and go whack, 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 and you don't want to have great big pieces of it. You want smaller pieces of the walnuts. Now, the suggestion was, and I had some of this kind of toffee this past weekend, and, oh, it was just absolutely marvelous. This is what it takes. You need 2 cups of sliced natural almonds. 2 cups of sliced natural almonds. They don't need to be blanched, just sliced. You're going to need 2 1/4 cups of sugar, 2 1/4 cups of sugar, 8 ounces, that's 2 sticks, of unsalted butter. Unsalted butter. And you want to cut it into about 16 pieces. Then you want 2 tablespoons of light corn syrup, 2 tablespoons of light corn syrup, and then 4 ounces of semi-sweet baking chocolate melted. 4 ounces of semi-sweet baking chocolate melted. And believe me, the baking chocolate really makes a difference. If you're in a bind and you don't have any and you've got chocolate chips, the dark chocolate is going to work very well, but you could try the milk chocolate too. It doesn't hurt to experiment. Now, this is how it goes. Your almonds you want to bake in a 325-degree oven for about 10 minutes so that they get nice and toasted. And then while that's going on, in a large saucepan over medium heat, you want to mix the sugar and the butter. You add 1/2 cup of water and the corn syrup until the sugar dissolves and the butter melts. Now, again, you take your sugar, your butter, 1/2 cup of water, and the corn syrup, and you stir it constantly until the sugar is totally dissolved and the butter is melted. And it won't have any of that granulated look to it at all. You bring it to a boil. Once it has totally dissolved, you bring it to a boil. You stir it only once or twice after you bring it to a boil. Only once or twice do you stir it to prevent sticking and burning. If you have a Teflon pan, that might even be better. You cook until the mixture reaches 360 degrees Fahrenheit on a candy thermometer. And it will turn a caramel color. It's going to take you about 12 minutes. So you will have to stand at the stove watching it. Then you remove it from the heat. After about 10 seconds, when the bubbles dissipate, with a heat-resistant silicone spatula, fold in 1 cup of the toasted almonds. And then you pour on a baking sheet that has some sides to it, and you spread it evenly. Now, I recommend before you pour it on the baking sheet that you spray it lightly with non-stick cooking spray. Or if you've got a Teflon baking sheet, it won't make any difference. You let it cool, and it cools very quickly. It'll cool in about 10 minutes. Then you put that sheet in the refrigerator for about 20 minutes. And then your chocolate that you have melted, and I would recommend doing this in a double boiler, and you melt it, you then take it and spread it over the toffee, and then the almonds that you have left over, you sprinkle over the warm chocolate. Then you take that tray, that cookie tray, and you put it back into your refrigerator, and you refrigerate the toffee until it's hard, very hard. And then you can just break it into pieces and store it in a tightly sealed container. And it is just going to make a fabulous gift. I'm telling you, when we had this toffee out on the cruise that I took the last weekend, my goodness, all you had were a few almond crumbs. It went just in a flash. So you may want to make more than one batch. This one batch will make 2.5 pounds of toffee. It's easy. It will take a little bit of time. But, oh, is it good stuff. Yum. Donna Siebel here. I do want to let you know that we're going to be talking about money tomorrow. That's right. We hear so much about what isn't working. Well, we're going to be talking about how you can get rich, stay rich, and pass it on. Catherine McBreen is going to be my guest, and we are going to be interacting with her about a subject matter that is near and dear to just about everybody's heart this time of the year, especially, but also because the economy is not doing as well as many people would like in many areas of industry. Don't forget, next week, next Monday, we're going to have the Lalanes, Jack and Elaine Lalane. He's 94 years old. She's 83. These people are living examples of how you can have quality of life after 90. Yes. So we're going to have them live on Monday. Then Living Deeply, Cassandra Veaton is going to be my guest on Tuesday, and then we're going to have on Christmas Eve Day, Christmas music, stories about how this music came about. Ron Clancy is going to be my guest. And then, of course, Christmas Day, we'll be playing a special that I put together. There's no commercials in it at all. It's just Christmas stories. It's wonderful for the family. That'll be on Christmas Day. I'm going to be enjoying my family as you are yours. And then on Friday of next week, Power of Illusions by Maya. Yes, the day after Christmas, we're going to be back on live again. This is Donna Seaball. I'm so delighted you were able to join me today. Wherever you are, please remember to be cautious and careful when you're out driving. When these storms hit, you don't want to be foolish and in too much of a hurry. Take your time. Remember, you want to get to wherever you're going safe and sound, and you want this to be a wonderfully happy holiday for you, your family, your loved ones, and your friends. And we want you back here, right here at bbsradio.com. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Seaball Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Seaball Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.